Hello and welcome. It's Christy here, back again for another episode. This is the podcast where I talk about my life, the joys, struggles, heartaches, successes, and celebrations of life while living with cerebral palsy and other chronic health conditions. Before I begin this episode, I'd like to put a trigger warning on today's content. I'm going to be talking about ethics and ethical considerations from my perspective and opinion as someone who is an almost 42-year-old sound and competent adult living with a significant disability. The expertise in which I come from is lived experience. The opinions and thoughts I have on the subject are a direct result of personal experiences I have had over the last almost 42 years. This may be a difficult conversation for some people to hear and have, as I will address some issues, thoughts, and feelings I have on quality of life, mortality, and ethical considerations that I feel need to be talked about and addressed. These thoughts and feelings are based on my experience and my experience alone. If this does not resonate with you, that's fine. I'm not coming from the place of looking for agreement, rather simply sharing another aspect of my life, and once again talking about difficult, courageous topics that are often taboo and unacceptable in society. In 3 months, I will be 42 years old, and if I'm honest, if there had been a way for someone to ask me as a child, as a baby in the NICU, what do you want for your life? What kind of quality of life are you willing to accept and to live with? I can honestly say I'm not sure I would agree to live with all the hardships that the last 42 years have brought me. And before that frightens or freaks anyone out, let me be perfectly clear. I'm grateful for the last 42 years. I believe that my life has value, even though more days than not, I question what that is. I believe I deserve to be here. I believe every life has value. But what we don't discuss is the hardships of significant disabilities, mental illness that many people are forced to live with, that had no say in the matter, no choice, no voice to decide for themselves whether this journey of ultimate struggle and hardship is something they wanted to deal with forever, how long they were blessed with the gift of life. For me personally, if there had been a way to look forward and to accurately see what my life would be like 42 years into the future, with all the complexities, medically, personally, psychologically, psychiatrically, socially, spiritually, political, society views, etc., and so much more. If it had been possible to look into the future, have all the facts, and then have someone ask me to make a sound decision about my life existence and would I be willing and able to live life on the terms presented, I would have to think long and hard about whether I would like to live under these conditions, not knowing how long they would last, or would the more loving thing to do be to let me go as a young infant in the NICU so that I didn't have to face the hardships and pain that this world has caused. Let me be clear once again. This is not about doom and gloom, looking for all the negative and then saying as a 42-year-old adult, I don't want to be here. That's not what this is. But here's the thing. We're often asking children, babies, who are born prematurely with significant health conditions that more often than not will lead to significant severe disabilities, to live a life of hardships and struggle without giving them the opportunity to opt out, because they can't. They can't consent or oppose because they are babies, children. But honestly, that's when, as a society and as loving adults, we need to look at the whole picture of what a child might be when they're 42 years old or older. What kind of quality of life are they going to have? And yes, that includes looking at the current political climate of this country. I was born in 1983 to a 19-year-old mother who was a polysubstance drug addict and also struggling with alcoholism. I was born at 30 weeks gestation, that's 10 weeks early, weighing 2 pounds 12 ounces, polysubstance drug addicted myself, and alcohol in my system. I spent 10 weeks in the NICU fighting for my life, had a brain bleed. It was apparent that I was going to have significant disabilities, even if at the time no one could name them. After released from the hospital, I was placed in foster care. Let's break this down for a few minutes. I have clearly no clue how much money was actually spent saving my life, but I can assume even in 1983, hundreds of thousands of dollars were spent to save my life, with no care in the world, no second thought. The mission was to save my life at whatever cost and how much medical care it took. You may think that's noble. In many ways, I suppose it is. I am often referred to as a miracle, an inspiration, a hero. I am even on the miracle list at the hospital in which I was born because I was not likely to survive. Society saved me. Taxpayer dollars saved me. In 1983, and taxpayers continued to fund my care and existence while residing in foster care with the general position, this is a miracle girl. But as you get older, it's funny how society changes their view, how politicians lump you into the category of this disabled, and how we take from society and give nothing in return. As a society, and especially in this political climate, disabled people are seen as nothing. In fact, very recently, a current politician said on national TV that disabled people were one of the greatest threats currently to democracy. So I went from a miracle baby that we must do everything in our power to save to someone who is just a waste of space to many. Let me enter a caveat here and acknowledge that I know that not everyone believes this to be true. But there are more people that believe that to be true than not by how disabled people are forced to live and viewed by society in the 42 years that I have been on the planet. The honest truth is, in general, we don't value the disabled, even the disabled like myself, who are blessed and privileged to be able to get an education, graduate high school, go to college, get not one, but three college degrees, work in the medical field for years, pay taxes, etc., before my body gave out and my disability progressed. That reality is a blessing, I am well aware. There are many people who did not have those opportunities and will never have those opportunities for a myriad of reasons. That alone makes me privileged. But even if you were not able to have those opportunities as a disabled person, that does not mean you don't have value. I was able to do all those things for years. The reality is now I am on full disability and cannot work full time and probably will never be able to go back to work. I now receive Social Security disability every month, which I know is a big privilege. I am better off than most people disabled. But even with that reality being true, financial hardship is a big issue. And it's just one of the many things that makes my life extremely challenging and painful. I live off of less than $1,500 a month. In this current society, that's nothing. And yet, that really is one of the smallest worries and struggles that I currently have. Let's get into the things that society doesn't want to acknowledge, that are taboo to talk about, that I'm just expected to accept with the expectation and understanding that these realities are normal for people like me, and I need to just get over it and all the pain that they cause. Significant and extreme isolation and loneliness. Most people, including myself, are isolated and spend much time alone, away from society and the everyday going on of life that most people enjoy and or partake in. This is due to a lack of resources, transportation, etc. I rarely leave my house. In fact, there's no public transportation where I live. Lack of friendship or consistent support that you can rely on. In reality, I think most people mean well, but finding true friends when you are significantly disabled is hard, if not impossible. Why is this? I'm not exactly sure. As I get older, I realize I have nothing in common with the majority of people my age. The majority of people are married, have careers, multiple children, etc. I have none of that. I can't relate in those areas. We have nothing in common. And even if people mean well, you eventually drift apart. They don't have time for you. They're busy chasing their kids, taking them to soccer practice and ballet, and whatever else they're involved in. Checking in twice a month, it becomes once a month, becomes every 3 months, becomes every 6 months, and then it becomes never. You call to check in, they don't call back, they never even acknowledge that you called. And so it just eventually fizzles out because it becomes too painful to continue trying to make a friendship work that just isn't going to work. Then, quite frankly, there are the people who just simply leave you in the dust because they can't handle your medical issues, etc. They can't and don't want to be supportive of a life they don't understand. You become a burden and a nuisance because you can't live up to their lifestyle. Those people tend to weed themselves out really quickly. If you are blessed to have friends who are also disabled, often that is painful because their disabilities and medical conditions often end their lives prematurely, and you are left to grieve the loss of beautiful people that society often forgets exist. And so not only are you grieving your friend, but it's a very lonely place to be because it's hard to find support for yourself in your grieving process. Mental health issues. Many people with disabilities also have mental health issues, myself included. I have depression, anxiety, and PTSD, and I would imagine the majority of people with disabilities have one or all three of these disorders. However, many of us feel like we have to hide these realities from family, friends, and society, as they are often seen as just another problem to contend with. From my perspective, it doesn't seem that society understands why people with disabilities have mental health issues. And I have often felt judged because of that reality. Many people see me as blessed, but from a very skewed perspective. They see me as privileged because according to them, I don't have to work and can sit on my balcony and do whatever I want all day while they have to go make a living to survive. But people fail to realize and take into consideration all the challenges and complexities, hardships, and emotional pain that reality brings to my life. Having a disability is not a privilege. I would give anything to be able to go to work and not have to sit home and twiddle my thumbs. I would give anything to be married, have a family, house, and beautiful children to be running around after. I would give anything to not be in pain every day, both physically, mentally, and emotionally. I would give anything to have the privilege to come and go as I please, with my own transportation and the ability to ambulate. But people often don't think of all these things when they make hurtful comments about how blessed I am that I don't have to work and I get to do as I please every day. I feel judged, misunderstood, ostracized, isolated, and alone. And it's interesting when you try to point out these things from time to time and have a dialogue about these issues. You're often the one who has the problem. The one that's disabled is just trying to stir the pot. People with disabilities struggle with mental health not because we're trying to feel sorry for ourselves or live from a negative place, but rather because of all the events of our lives and all the things that we have been through, and often the oppressive, hurtful attitudes of society have taken a toll on our hearts and minds, and we have often nowhere to process any of this. Truthfully, the main reason I have PTSD is because of all the traumatic events that have happened throughout my life, whether it be all my medical emergency issues, all the times I've had to fight for my very survival as my body has tried to give out, to how I've been treated by the medical community because of my complex health conditions, to the downright discrimination I have faced by society, whether in college, fighting to get a new job, discrimination while on the job, finding appropriate housing, or simply being isolated and alone with no real friends. My cell phone can go days without ringing. I rarely receive a text message. People barely check up on me. At some point, you just stop trying because it's less painful to be alone than to keep reaching out to people and being ignored. It's also hard for myself and many people with disabilities to trust other people. We've been let down so much by so many people. I love how people can say, call me anytime, or I'll always answer when you call, or I'll always be here for you, etc. That rarely ends up being the reality. I'm not trying to completely be negative, but the reality of the disabled community and many of us in it needs to be spoken about and brought into light, even if it's considered negative and hard to hear. As a society, we need to start asking ourselves, what quality of life do we want for each other? Because many people, including myself, are living a life they didn't ask for. But society demands that I be okay with my reality, no matter how difficult and challenging it becomes. There's this unspoken expectation that I don't have the right to speak negatively or quote-unquote complain about my struggles, heartaches, and hardships, that I'm supposed to look at the positive and be grateful. But as humans, shouldn't we care about the quality of life of others around us? Shouldn't we want a space of understanding and and empathy? Shouldn't we care about the reality of children 42 years into the future? And if we don't like what that looks like, but we are committed to saving every child, then perhaps we need to start having conversations, not just about what's ethically appropriate for a severely disabled infant baby, but also what kind of world they're going to live in while they are blessed with life. Are we going to value their existence? Are we going to provide services and supports not only for their families, but also in their community, so they can live life to their fullest potential in the community? Are we going to care about their mental health and the pain and struggles they're going to experience because they have health challenges and disabilities? And are we going to provide them with the necessary support to see them through the hard times and struggles? Because let me be honest, as a 42-year-old competent adult, something has to change in this society. It's not fair to ask someone like myself to live in a world like the one we are currently living in, with the biased attitudes, lack of support, poverty, etc. All because I was born to a drug addict mother who the same society was hell-bent on saving 42 years ago, but has generally forgotten about me and thousands of other people and looked at as trash who can simply be discarded. I deserve better than that. Not because I'm special or entitled, but because every human being deserves that. And if we're not willing to see every human being as valuable and worthy of life, a quality of life, then perhaps we shouldn't be working so hard to save them and call it a miracle if we're not going to do our part to sustain that life for the long term. This does not mean that I want a handout. I don't want your money. I want a fundamental change in how we view the disabled and other marginalized communities. Yes, it's vitally important that we believe in ourselves and value ourselves, but sometimes that's really hard to do when the messages we continue to receive are negative, vile, and hurtful. I know that this may ruffle some feathers, but I refuse to believe that some people have value and some people don't. And yet that is the message I have received most of my life. So I'm not sure why anybody's surprised that I struggle and have depression, etc. But I've never shied away from talking about the hard things. I will continue to do so because not everyone in my shoes and reality is able to use their voice to bring to light what needs to change and the realities of so many. I've often wondered why I'm here. Maybe this is why: to speak truth to a world about people who are pushed into the dark, into the shadows. I will never stop believing that we are all valuable and deserve a place in this world filled with love, respect, and dignity. And until that is a reality, I will continue to speak out and speak up. Thank you for joining me today. Until we meet again, sending love and peace and happiness to you all.